Looking to sponsor the podcast? Email us at info@bernardbergen.com.
What's going on, y'all? I love it because it's just a tight-knit group of us. Thanks for standing by while I got things set up. LB, let me know if you can see my screen. Hopefully you can. It's been up the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. That's what we're going to be talking about. It's friendships, the importance of them, and going deeper with them. But before we kick things off, real quick, I'd love for you guys to, starting with you, Big Rob, share a story about a friend you've had that you just value, and maybe one or two reasons why you value that specific friend. All right. Seems like I lost Big Rob. What about you, LB? Any friends that you have in your life that you just value, and why do you value that specific friend? Go for it, LB.
I grew up with him. We met in high school. We didn't grow up together, but he ended up transferring to our school. And this is the only person before graduating high school that I still stay in touch with, like on a regular basis. And I think because when we met and got up, we just kind of clicked and hung out. I mean, we did everything together in those few years of high school, to the point like I could just walk in his house, you know, and call his mom, and dad, and, you know, had little sisters, and it wasn't nothing to it. Like, to this day, I could just walk into their house, you know, like, hey, he lives in Atlanta now, but, you know, I can go by and see him and check on him. And I think just because, I guess, in a sense, we kind of had some of the same values, in a sense, and that kind of thing. And he's also trying to level up and, you know, do more than he has been doing. I've been trying to get him to check out the G, but now that we're on Mighty Networks, I think it's going to be easier for him to do it. Plus, he's in Atlanta, so he can really tap in and do some, you know, work with the group more heavily, you know. So that's just one of the guys that I, you know, grew up with. And we talk at least once or twice a week sometimes, mostly through chat, but, you know, every month or two, I try to call and just have phone calls with them.
Come on, LB. That's strong. Big Rob, did you get everything sorted out? Big Rob, we'd love to hear from you if you have a friend that you just value and why you value that friend. Go for it.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I have a couple friends. I think growing up, I was more of a friend to other people than they were to me. But I had a couple of friends that I still keep in touch with. We don't see each other all the time, but when we get together, we still good friends. We talk on the phone. We can talk all night long till I fall asleep or he falls asleep. But I still have a few good friends.
Yeah, I love that, Big Rob. Guys, friendship definitely matters. Friendship definitely matters. I have friends. Here's the thing, though. Because I was blessed to have brothers, that's who my first friendships were and my deepest friendships were. And I think sometimes I took for granted that some people don't like their siblings, like for real don't like their siblings. And I didn't know this at the time because, you know, coming up, you just assume everybody was like you. So my siblings, it's five boys and we have the same mother and father. So I assume that everybody had that same thing, that same starting point, that same dynamic. So it's hard for me to hate my brother when we got the same parents. Like, it's like you go see them everywhere. It's just kind of how it works. So I took for granted that there was deeper places we could go in our quote friendship. But as I became a more mature man, I don't take for granted what it means to be a friend on top of being a brother. Now, I want to read this verse to you from my book of faith. It says, well, before I do that, we have Mr. Coleman. He joined the call. Devin, do you have a friend that you feel just really is a quality friend, somebody who's just kind of been there for you? And if you do, Devin, go ahead and share that.
Yeah, B, I do. And he passed away last year. But he was a good friend. Like, he was all up, always there when I needed him. He challenged me. And we had tough conversations, too. So I am the man I am today because of some of the conversations that we had.
Come on, Devin. That's solid. That's solid. Now, here's something I want to put in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart. I'll read to you from a few different versions. As you know, my book of faith is the Bible. And it says, in the New International Version, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'll read that again. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks what? Closer than a brother. I have two of my brothers sitting in this room with me, so brothers can be close. But there says there's something about a certain type of friend that they're even closer to you than a brother. And we call the G the brotherhood. So I want to challenge you guys to don't stop at brotherhood. Go deeper, because there is a friend. LB said that he has a friend for years who they can walk in each other's homes. They're that together. And that's powerful, because here is it being collaborated to be validated by the word that says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The New Living Translation puts it this way. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. The English Standard Version puts it this way. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So again, just different ways of looking at the same thing. Many of us, we kind of like a big social scene, but that's not going to get you to where you need to go. You have to have people who are super close. And that means you have to be both visible and vulnerable. And here's the issue. Most of us, we're either visible or we're vulnerable. We're rarely both. B, what does that look like? Look, nobody knew Mr. Cosby was going through what Mr. Cosby was going through until they put him on blast. And he was both visible and vulnerable. He was visible my whole life. But was he vulnerable? Was he showing who he really was? You have to be both visible and vulnerable, because someone can come in and help you solve what you're going through. What Mr. Cosby enjoyed could be had in other countries and it's not illegal. But in our country, it is. But because he hid it, nobody could tell him. No friend who was closer than a brother could say, Bill, yeah, let's not here. Let's not do it that way. And that's what we got to understand. You have to be both visible and vulnerable so that you could allow friendship to do what it's designed to do. Allow people to see you, hear you, feel you, and help you get to where you were going anyway. In my book of faith, there's a scene in the Bible where this shepherd boy was anointed king, and this other guy, he was a prince. That means when his daddy died, he would have became the king. But because that prince had a heart after the creator, he said, you know, I already heard that you were anointed. I've already seen you do tremendous things. So I'm going to go ahead and be a friend to you and support your endeavors. When the shepherd boy had to come to the palace, of course, he looked like a shepherd. What else would he look like? So the prince showed him how to dress. He showed him what a prince should look like, what someone in the king's house should look like. That's deep. Because that young man, that shepherd boy, was anointed king, the current king didn't like him. He wanted a dynasty. He wanted his lineage and his bloodline to rule forever, but that wasn't to be. So he started taking shots at the shepherd boy. He wanted to kill him. And what did that prince do? The prince intervened because, again, he was a friend who stuck closer than a brother. And if we really ask ourselves, are we being that type of friend? Many of us would come up wanting. That's why I have on the slide, are you a quality friend? What about your friends? Are you a quality friend? I was riding around yesterday, and the YG Jeezy song came on, My N-I-G-G-A. And I thought about the people I could ride with like that. I had somebody in my life during my time in the military. We took on a whole military battalion. He was that. It wasn't even his fight. But because he was my friend, he said, look, if you say we can take him down, let's take him down. And that's dangerous ground. Those people are killers, just like we were. And what they were doing was wrong, and we had to go against the whole establishment, but he was willing to ride with me. And when that song came on, I reflected about how horrible of a friend I was after I transitioned. Horrible. And so in my life, I'm asking myself, am I going to continue the energy that I know destroys, or am I going to be like that prince I talked about? So when I say someone is my friend, I am willing to usher them into their next level of greatness, even at my expense, like a real friend would. So let's go through some different aspects of friendship so we could really see if we are being a quality friend or if we are the other thing. All right, let me get to slide two real quick. So on slide two, it says, are you a quality friend? And that's going to be our theme throughout this whole thing. Are you a quality friend? So here are the five signs of a true friendship. The five signs of a true friendship. They support you in everything. In everything. You could have the next thing you're working on. Hey, I need to lose weight. Hey, I need to gain weight. Hey, I need to get a divorce. Hey, I'm planning to get married. A true friend is willing to support you. Hey, I don't know what to do with my kids. They kind of turned the corner and they kind of in these streets now. What should I do? They are there. It doesn't mean they know what to do, but they're there as support. Even sometimes just to listen. And many of us, we don't understand that a real friend will look for opportunities to help you grow. Your cause becomes their cause. They will rejoice when you're making progress and celebrate with you, a real friend. Number two, a true friendship, they accept everything about you, including your flaws. They know that you're a flawed human being. They know you have traumas. They know you've lied. They know when you're lying, and they still love you. They look you dead in the eye while you're telling them the biggest lie, and they're like, okay, I'm gonna keep that one until you're ready to tell the truth. Because they are a true friend. They know a mistake can cost you a friendship, but with a real friend, this is not the case. A real friend forgives because he or she values your friendship more than your mistakes. A true friend. So again, are you a quality friend? Number three, they stick with you through both the good and bad times. Now, this one really helps distinguish a fake friend from a real friend. In hard times, a true friend would never dream of leaving you in the shadows alone. Instead, they offer to help you however they can and bring you back into the light. That's a true friendship. That's a true friend. Number four, they constantly keep in touch. They look for touch points. They contact you not only based on something to share with you, but they know what you're interested in. And if they hear of something that you would be interested in, they put it on your table. They put it on your desk. They text it over to you. They call you about it. Why? Because they care. They care about connecting with you and connecting you to what? Your destiny, your purpose, the things that matter to you. A true friend hardly forgets any event that's important to you. I've had people call me what I thought was out of the blue to wish me a happy anniversary when my own natural family members didn't even remember. True friends, because they care. They want to keep in contact with you. They want to be there for you. Number five, they remember things about you. And that goes back to things like your anniversary, some big date, maybe when you launch your business, maybe the date of your divorce. So they check on you on that date because you're still single. Maybe the death of a loved one that was dear to you. So they check on you during those moments. Those are the signs of a true friend. And I'm going to consistently ask this. Are you a quality friend? Are you a quality friend? I want you convinced by the end of this that if you level up in your friendships, what you sow, you're going to reap, that you could change your life in less than a year by just strategically onboarding quality, what, friendships. Now, let's talk about the opposite spectrum. The opposite spectrum. Back to the main concept. Are you a quality friend? So if you need to hear the good, you also need to hear the what? The not so good. The not so good. Signs of a toxic friendship. Imbalance in talk time. Y'all in front of each other, y'all call each other. And if y'all had 60 minutes together, somehow they have 40 of the 60 minutes in talking. How, Sway? Like how? We supposed to be friends. At least give me 30 minutes. You gonna talk for the whole 60 minutes? But when somebody's a toxic friend, they don't really care what you have to say. They don't really want to listen to you. They just want to tell you what they're going through so they feel better. They treat you like you're their therapist, even though they're not paying you. And then when it's time for you to share, all of a sudden they need to go do something or they need to get off the phone. And then balance and talk time is a sign of a toxic friendship. They are self-centered, number two. They are self-centered. Now, here's something I've been mulling over and having a ton of dialogue about. Guys, you can be selfish. Selfish makes sense. Every human being is selfish. Meet a baby. A baby is going to cry when it's hungry, cry when it's wet, cry when it needs love to be held. That's selfishness. Every human being is designed to be selfish. How else will you accomplish your purpose? You have to stay focused on what's important to you. That's what selfish is. But to be self-centered means somehow you think everything revolves around. That means you're the center of everything and everything revolves around you. How can you be the center of everything and everything revolves around you? That's self-centered. And if you have somebody in your life who you call a friend and they're self-centered, they're not a true friend. You're in a toxic friendship. Now, my challenge, because I'm a man of faith, is to be God-centered. That means everything revolves around what the Creator designed for me to do, my family to do, those in my life to do. That's what I want to revolve around, not myself, because I'm flawed. I'm human. So if I'm self-centered, and let's look at it from a macro. Remember when President Trump was president? I ain't going to say he was self-centered, but I'm going to say he was damn close. And didn't a lot of things revolve around him, even to the things that crashed and burned? Because when we allow self-centered people to become, quote, the center of our universe, what can they give you? They didn't create the world. What can they give you? That's why I would rather be God-centered, because he knows everything, how everything is supposed to fall into place. So if you are in a friendship with somebody who is clearly self-centered, I challenge you to call that toxic friendship what it is and make the change that matters. Now, here's something else that is a glaring red flag in a toxic friendship. They try to change you. If anybody in my life who I called a friend said, hey, B, when you gonna have children, we stopped being friends that day. We stopped being friends that sentence. I have very rarely heard every human being I know who have children celebrate the entire process. Very rarely. Very rarely. And you want me to go through what you're going through? Why would you wish that on me? That's like me saying, man, they just took my appendix out. That was the most pain I've been in my whole life. Maybe you should get your appendix taken out. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But without knowing it, so many of us are in relationships with people who are trying to change us. And here's something else. When I was preparing these slides and I was prepping this talk, I was talking to my wife, Latasha, about it. And I said, babe, that's why so many people are not friends with their spouses. Because their spouse secretly wants to change them. They don't love them as they are. I love my wife exactly as she is. Exactly as she is. I did not sign up for fake. If I wanted fake, I would have went to Hollywood. I signed up for real. That means who she really is every single day of her life. And that doesn't always mean she's a likable person. But I choose to love her because as friends, who she is, as she is valuable to me. But if you say you have friends and they're trying to change you, or you're somebody's friend and you're always trying to change them, leave them alone. They might not need you as a friend because they are who the creator designed them to be. And their purpose comes out of them being who they are. So if you change them, you short circuit their what? Their purpose. Now, here's another sign that you're in a toxic friendship. The stress of their life costs you. I mean, I'm your friend, but why am I paying your mortgage once a year for the whole time I've known you? That don't make sense. I ain't saying it shouldn't cost me a phone call. Maybe in a real emergency, there's times where money exchange hands. But the mortgage? Like you didn't know it was due the next month after the last month you paid it? Your mortgage don't work like that? Because that's the way my mortgage works. Like every other month, you know what I'm saying? Every month is going to come. Like, you know it's coming. And too many times we don't assess the cost. They always need a ride. Hey, man, what you doing? Can you give me a ride? Like, bro, every week? Bro, I am not the public transit system. Like, yeah, man, I'm going to give you gas. Yeah, gas is not my time, though. I don't want to wait hand and foot on you. And we don't consider the cost. And yes, there are times a quality friendship will put a burden in your life. It's just what it is. But should it be something that truly stresses you out? Because if it's fully stressing you out, you're not in a quality friendship. You're in a toxic friendship. And then lastly, and this is one I pay attention to, your other relationships suffer. I'm married. I am successfully married. Successfully married. So if my marriage is starting to fail because of some friendship, I know I'm in a toxic friendship. If what they're going through is always seeping into my marriage and polluting it, I know I'm in a toxic friendship. And too many of us, we don't assess what it's costing us. All of a sudden, you have no energy left for your kids because them telling you about their kids makes you think all kids, their kids. That's not true. You're just in a toxic friendship. When they get their house in order, consider if you're going to reconvene the friendship, because you can't let, let's talk about what toxicity looks like. We in a pandemic. That's what toxicity looks like. It can keep spreading and spreading and spreading and spreading until somebody does what? Set up what? Boundaries. Oh, bro, you're going to have to wear a mask if you come in my establishment. Yeah, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z. If you're going to interact with me, if you're going to be a part of what I'm doing. Guys, if you are in a toxic friendship, my call to action this week is that you end it. Because you're not really getting a glimpse of who you need to be, because things are what? So toxic. Now let's move on. I know that energy was dark, but we got to have the yin and yang. We got to have the good and the not so good. So we understand where we can grow to. Here's a challenge for every one of us. It's time for you to find new friendships. I was listening to my wife and I, we was watching a video playlist, and that Drake, No New Friends, came on, and he had Birdman in the video. It's a DJ Khaled song. And, you know, Drake was young. Drake was still slim back then. And you looking at him like, man, and he's saying no new friends, and it became so popular and catchy. But the truth is, he could only be Drake with all new friends, because the friends he had from day one couldn't get him to where he is today. There's no way. There's no way. And we like to believe these lies because it makes us feel comfortable in sticking with what we know versus doing the work of growing our what? Our friendships. I told you a shepherd met a prince and he was able to navigate the palace and the king's court. What if he didn't know the prince? And a lot of us say we want to be X, multimillionaires, X, these types of business owners, but we have no friendships that says that's where we should be. How you want to be a six-figure business owner and you know nobody like that? None of your friends can say that that's a part of their life. Because I can guarantee you something. If you dig deep and tell the full truth, your life look like most of your friends' lives. You live in how they live, you move in how they move, and you doing what they do. Because as they say, birds of a certain feather, they usually congregate together. So here are some ways to find new friendships. One, be yourself. The worst thing you could do is show up trying to be something you're not. And then the second they realize that you're not who you're pretending to be, they quit you anyway. Of course, you want to put your best foot forward, but don't twist yourself into knots trying to fit in. Just be who you are, and you'll find people who appreciate you and what you have to offer as a friend. Don't be fake. Be exactly who you are. You don't like kids like me? Tell them. I don't like kids. I don't know if we can be friends. I didn't say I want to be a friend with your child. I don't understand. I just don't like kids. That's why I ain't got none. And my wife is in one accord with me on that. And those people who have loved us anyway and accepted us anyway, we have great relationships. And those who judged us, I don't know what's going on in their life. And I don't care. Because I would rather show up as who I'm supposed to be. And those who are supposed to be doing life with me, we align. Then me ever being fake. And now all of a sudden I'm on eggshells when I'm in rooms with, quote, those people I call my friends. So if you're going to find new friendships, you have to be committed to, number one, being yourself. Number two, find a volunteer opportunity or a meetup. Why? Because in these unique environments, you have the time to see people in a different light, to meet people in different sides of the world, and you start to attract what you need. Without knowing it, sometimes we want to make new friends, but we're not expanding our circle. One of the easiest ways to expand your circle is to volunteer. Go find a place that aligns with your passions, things you're already interested in. Like, for example, like if it's any opportunity to teach young adults communications training, I love doing that. And that's for me, is always a great space to meet other people in that space who also enjoy doing that. And a lot of my current relationships came out of exploring volunteer opportunities in that specific niche. So I challenge you to find things you already like doing. If you went to jujitsu, if you're into cooking, if you're into personal development, back to meetups, that's where you want to build some of your new friendships, around things you already are interested in anyway. Because here's a truth. Not only will you form new relationships, but it will be entirely straightforward in being yourself because it's something you want to do. Lastly, and this one always eludes people. I heard a lot of people during the height of the pandemic say things to me like, man, B, I'm so lonely. I'm like, bro, you live in an apartment building. How you were lonely? I don't know my name. Go knock on their door. It's not deep. Man, I don't want to make them uncomfortable by knocking on their door. All right, well, go back to your place and be lonely. How you live in a building with 100 people and you are alone? How? But that's what we miss. We don't even talk to our neighbors. I have seen people get mail delivered in the wrong mailbox, and it's my wife does it. And at first, I was confused. My wife will go to their house, knock on their door, and deliver their mail. And while there, she would introduce herself. And all of a sudden, we have a new what? Friend. Because when somebody looks you, hunts you down to deliver a mail, and somehow it turns out to be a check he was waiting on, and it was in our mailbox, the person who bring it, they a friend. You feel some type of way about that type of energy. And at first, I was confused. But my wife said something that's powerful, especially as we talk about friendships. She said, you reap what you sow. So me not sending it back to the post office, and me getting it to them, that means someone's going to do it for me one day. And a lot of us don't have quality friendships. Again, are you a quality friend? Because you're not willing to do what? So exactly that which you need. So how are you going to reap something that you have never given? If you don't talk to your neighbors, why would they talk to you? It's not deep. I have a neighbor I don't like, and I need to humble myself and fix that relationship. And so I don't talk to him. I do not go out of my way. If I see him, I change my whole flight path. If I was going to walk down the street left and he outside, I go right. Because we had an incident in the past, and while I have forgiven him, my trust for him is quite low. So I have done nothing in going out of my way to repair that relationship. But I can. Let's stop pretending we can't. And if I simply start talking to him, we live right next door to each other. What do you think is going to happen after the 70th conversation? We're going to start being friends. But because we don't even do what? Initiate the conversation, there is no bridge to friendship. I told you guys early in this call how valuable friendships are to what you must become. But many of us won't onboard quality or new friendships. You still on that Drake 1996, no new friends, and your life looked like you have no new friends. You still doing what they doing in 1996, and we in 2021. If you want to evolve your life, evolve your relationships. So you have to always be in a space that if there is someone of quality to align with for a season as a friend, do so. Do so. Now, lastly, I want to make sure that I ingrain in a very pressing way the benefits of friendships. And I think it's a given, but it's worth mentioning again and again and again and again. So one of the benefits of friendship, and it's the first one, you're not lonely. My book of faith says it's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good for a man to be socially isolated, socially distanced for too long. But without knowing it, when we really talk about the hurt, the pain, the chaos of our lives, we are alone in crowds. Yeah, we know a lot of people. Yeah, we're around a lot of people, but y'all just Facebook friends. Fake. Y'all follow each other on Instagram. Fake. It's no real relationship. Y'all don't even really know each other. The only thing you could talk about is their last post. Fake. And that's why you're so lonely. And a lot of times when I'm training coaching class through this, they're stuck on the stupid part of stupid, because there is a stupid part of stupid. And they're like, nobody calls me or texts me. And I'm like, is your phone broken? Because phones work both ways. Did you call or text anybody? No. So why should they call or text you? Because I'm valuable. Well, not to them, you ain't. That's why they ain't calling and text you. So if you would just call and text people, and again, if you do it three times and they don't respond, look, treat it like baseball. Three strikes, you're out. Find somebody else. Because I can guarantee there's someone who's waiting for somebody who's consistent in their friendship, consistent in their connection, consistent in their reaching out. And maybe the person you were reaching out to, they're just not the one for this season. Move on. Humble yourself. Let them go. Move on. Because if you keep remaining alone, you're going to get beat. Because if the creator himself said it's not good for man to be alone, who are we to go against that? Many of us are thriving because of those in our life. And as we subtract quality humans from our life, we're left with absolutely nothing. So I'm going to challenge you to look at one of the benefits of friendships and dive in and get beyond that loneliness and get beyond that social isolation and truly be visible and vulnerable. Something that hit me recently was one of the easiest ways to learn most things is a quality conversation. But if you have no one to talk to, share with, no one to share an idea with, and just get feedback on, not only does that loneliness compound, but that isolation causes you to start saying things that are what I call the fetish language. And as humans, especially men, we need communities and people who will encourage us even at times when in our heart we don't believe we can get it done. That's the number two thing that is a benefit of friendship. It improves your self-confidence and self-worth. I have seen terrified humans on the battlefield. By the time I'm done talking, they're ready to kill anything that moves. Because that's what friendship does. It lets you know that you're not alone. It lets you know that someone sees something in you that's worth putting up an investment in. But when you have no friendships, nobody who can see your value, your confidence, your self-worth might start seeping away. Not because you're not valuable, not because you're not worthy, but chances are you don't talk to yourself in a way that lets you know you're as worthy or as valuable as you really are. And you have to put yourself in relationships and in rooms and spaces where those people who become your friends can say, man, okay, you launched that last business, it worked, but it didn't scale the way you expected it to. What's the next one? Reminding you of what's in you, reminding you of what you've talked about, reminding you of your vision. That's a huge benefit of friendship. But if we avoid friendships, if we avoid deepening relationships because we don't want to be visible and vulnerable, then we lose this aspect that reinvigorates our confidence and reinvigorates our self-worth. Something I've said my whole life, and I didn't think of this till just now. Look, I've never had self-esteem issues in my life. Like ever. Like, you could see me with my back against the ropes, and if I say I'm going to pull through, I'm like Canelo right now. You can get in the ring if you want to. I'm taking your belt. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because I don't have, but then when I think back to it, I'm from a big family. I've never felt alone in my life. When I was born, I had an older brother. I have three younger brothers. I have parents who love me. I have aunties and uncles who adore me still, and I'm 38. So a lot of that natural, not just leadership, but self-value comes from those around me, those I was in community with, who valued me so much that I can never doubt I had value. I remember one time hearing one of my mentors speak, and they were talking about being homeless, and they were talking about the loneliness and the isolation. And I was like, yo, I can never be lonely. I can never be homeless. I can never be that isolated. I got too many aunties and uncles who love me. And they got like really big homes. So worst thing is they're gonna just come get me and say, you're gonna stay with me till you get it together. So I don't understand why we will put ourselves in a position, loneliness, social isolation, social distancing for no reason, where now our self-confidence is failing and our self-worth is also failing. Now, number three, if you want to maximize your personal development goals, losing weight, gaining weight, getting into bodybuilder shape, finding that mate and having a quality marriage, there's nothing like friendships to help you get there. Why? Because they're going to hold you accountable. The next time they see you, you're going to say, what has changed about X? Did you ever work on Y? What did you do about Z? That's what friends do. They bring up in very consistent and challenging but loving ways, are you doing what you said you should be doing? And if you don't have people in your life like that, and then you calling them a friend and they calling you a friend, that's not what they are. They're an associate. See, while Facebook, which I still call the biggest fake space on the planet, the biggest lie on the planet, while they created a it's complicated section for relationships, why didn't they create an it's complicated section for friendships? Because I hate the fact that if I was on Facebook, everybody that I'm connected to is called my friend because we're not friends. And I hate that on other social media, they call them followers because they're not my followers. My book of faith says my sheep hear my voice. So the people who follow me, when I tell them to do something, they do it. And that's why in their personal development, their life goes in one direction. Because as their friend, I can hold them accountable and it's no big deal. And they can hold me accountable and it's no big deal. But because we have all these fake constructs, oh, this person's my friend, but you can't tell them what to do. this person is your friend or follower and you can't hold them accountable. We have let that bleed over into the real world. And that's why for many, our personal development, our forward momentum, because that's all personal development is, your consistent forward momentum, it fails. And we have to get back to being quality friends. And maybe you then don't have the 10 friends you thought you had. Maybe you whittle that down to 3. That's all you're gonna need. Why you need 10 friends anyway? I don't know if you guys know about LeBron's inner circle and how tight that is, but I mean, I haven't seen the Space Jam movie yet, but I've seen the merch. And his circle of friends has guided his life and career through just holding him accountable, challenging him to change, challenging him to grow to levels that we've never seen any basketball player achieve. And I know the basketball purists might be like, well, Michael Jordan divorced. And it was a very public, his wife went on a news program and called a press conference to divorce him. I ain't saying LeBron married Soren, but from what we can see, it's not failing. And that's why quality friendships help you, because somebody in his circle, someone in his friends is saying, hey, LeBron, she don't look that good. She don't look better than your wife and kids. That's the wrong meeting to take. That's the wrong room to be in by yourself. Let's help you out. And it's caused his life and career to thrive in ways that's unimaginable and unheard of for most professional athletes. Friendships. Another person who did that successfully was Ludacris. He surrounded himself with a core group of friends that he was willing to invest in, whether they needed to go to chef school or business school, to help him do what he does best, entertain people. And he's one of the most consistent entertainers that came out of his generation. But again, if we don't have quality relationships and allow them to develop into friendships, a lot of the goals, dreams, purposes, and causes that we believe in, we'll never see it into fruition because the encouragement is not there. It's not there. At the bottom of the slide, I had to put this because I think this was very significant to think about. Because what a friend really allows you to do is feel like you belong to someone, to something, that you're important, that you're valuable, that you're needed. And it says belonging, the need of belonging comes in third on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, just after basic needs. And your basic needs are what? Food, clothing, and shelter. Food, clothing, shelter, and safety. So those are your basic needs. But now think what comes next, the need to belong. I always say this over and over and over again, because it's true. Anytime I see somebody coming up against me and it's just one, I'm like, that's it? God has not made the giant big enough that he's going to beat my team. And I only move as a team. I do not isolate myself. I do not put myself in positions where people can defeat me with their words, call me names, steal my self-confidence, steal my self-worth, and stop my forward momentum on my personal development. And I'm challenging every brother on this call to reassess all your friendships and make sure they're true friendships. And for those who join a bit after, I'm gonna pull up the toxic slide of friendships again, because again, we need to recognize the signs of toxic friendships. Because that's why so many of us don't have space for new, valuable, forward-moving, forward-looking friendships, because we have a lot of toxic friendships. And if we clear out the toxicity, we can get back to what my Book of Fate says. That there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother.
The Bernard Bergen Podcast is brought to you by BernardBergen.com. Visit for more on human performance insights and results coaching. Thanks for listening to the Bernard Bergen Podcast. Leave a comment with 2 things you learned and 1 challenge to the information. Like and share this episode, and feel free to recommend topics we should cover on the podcast.